Welcome to the snooze button. Hey, I'm Brittany of Brittany, She, and Sleep. I've got 99 problems, but my kid sleeping isn't one.
All right, guys, we have another exciting guest episode here. So I have with me my friend Jennifer Barnard. So Jennifer is the founder of Baby Begin. And in her words, I will tell you, she says, we are here to simplify plagiocephaly, flathead syndrome, and torticollis, tight neck, empowering parents with evidence-based information to make the best decision for your baby. And their mission is to eradicate plagiocephaly worldwide, doing it one baby at a time.
Yes. So Jennifer,
welcome.
Thank you.
So excited you're here. So you guys have to know we're mainly going to be talking about baby heads and necks today, but you should also know that Jennifer has some serious dance moves because I met her for the first time at a conference for the sleep sorority. And yeah, you were like the first one on the dance floor, last one off.
I think
that night would have been way more boring if you hadn't gotten out on the dance floor and started dancing and everyone was like, oh, we're doing this. This is happening.
In our pajamas, nonetheless.
The guy at the bar, did you ever talk to him? He was like, what kind of business are you guys in? Like, do you always wear pajamas? Like, he was so weirded out because all the other conferences was like Ernst & Young or something.
I talked to him and I was like, I bet that you have never had a group like this. These all women in pajamas having the time of their life. It was so fun. I look forward to that conference every year because sleep consultants know how to party. And I like that.
Turns out.
Yeah,
we had a 90s one this year.
I
was not expecting to have so many sleep consultants grinding to Pony by Genuine. That was unexpected. But fun.
I love it.
So, but that was neither here nor there. Right. So I'm very excited that you're here. I've been wanting you to come on forever. And I kept forgetting to email you and tell you like the details because this is a topic, plagiocephaly. And I think for parents who don't even know the term, like people talk about flatheads all the time to me, right? Like, what about, should I put them on their stomach? Because I noticed a bald spot, their head's flat. So can you first maybe like explain what these things are and what you guys do at Baby Begin?
Sure. So plagiocephaly just means asymmetric head shape. So every baby, hopefully, is sleeping on their back when they're first born. And so, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics has recommended, as most sleep consultants obviously are recommending, back sleeping for safety. Because a baby's skull is so malleable, when you put a baby to sleep on their backs, if they're always keeping their head in one direction, that area will flatten. And we saw a huge increase in skull flattening and skull deformities after the Back to Sleep campaign happened. So it kind of is an unintended consequence of that, but it has helped a lot with the SIDS rate. And so babies do need to sleep on their back, but we need to alter their head position when they're sleeping. So one, you know, a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left, a little bit straight, a little bit to the right, a little bit to the, you know, I mean, it's like a rotisserie chicken. You kind of want to keep that head moving. What happens, however, is some babies have a muscle imbalance in their neck. And so one side of their neck is tighter than the other. And that keeps them with their head turned in one preferred direction. And that then flattens the skull. So we, you know, like I said, it's very common. It's not anything that anybody is doing wrong. A lot of parents feel guilty when their baby's heads are flat, that they should not feel guilty. They're following the guidelines. The baby just had a little bit of a neck muscle imbalance. And so plagiocephaly is very common. And we usually see it at around 2 months of age is when you can spot it. That's usually when pediatricians are discussing it or parents are now sleeping a little bit and now they're looking at their baby and they're not just in survival mode.
Right.
And so that's usually when most parents notice it, is at that 2 month mark.
So is because torticollis is the tight neck. So is it that having torticollis causes plagiocephaly a bit? Is that kind of the accurate, but can you have one without the other or no?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So torticollis is usually the the root cause of the skull flattening and the skull asymmetries. However, a lot of it starts in utero. So if it's a first-time mom, if you have multiples, if your baby is breech for most of the pregnancy, if your baby dropped and is head down for most of the pregnancy and everything is squished and the baby doesn't have a whole lot of space to move, or if you have a real small petite mom, that can happen. The neck is involved there. And sometimes even when the baby comes out, there are skull asymmetries and differences. So there's lots of causes for it, but probably a big majority is from torticollis.
That's so interesting. I didn't realize that a lot of it had to do or could be caused in utero, that it's happening.
And perhaps that all of that kind of in uterine constraint is what we call it, causes the neck muscle imbalance. So it's sometimes hard to pinpoint exactly. But if a baby is born and has a turn preference, like initially, like if mom says, yeah, I think I noticed it in week one, then most likely it's from in utero involvement.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And you guys, at Baby Begin, what kind of services do you guys offer? Because I think you do, if I understand correctly, you guys do virtual and in-home, in-person.
Yes, that's correct. So we've been in business for 16 years, and we primarily do in-home therapy. So I have physical therapists and occupational therapists that see babies in their homes. And we do Dallas, Houston, and Austin. So we're Texas-based. We also, however, provide virtual consultations to people all over the world, because during COVID, we found that there are flat-headed babies literally in every country around the world.
Yes, they are everywhere.
Yes, it's not just a United States thing. And so, you know, people were contacting us like, we need help. There's no one in my area that does this. You know, can you help us? And so we decided to start offering a parent educator that will help parents through that, show them repositioning, show them some exercises that they can do with their baby to hopefully round out their head. Our goal is to correct that head shape without a helmet.
That's great.
And we're usually very successful if the baby is younger than 4 months.
Yeah. And that was, I have like so many questions, but that was one of my questions is, I think with all three of my kids, at least two of them, I was told at some appointment, probably early on, the head, you know, the head's a little flat. We'll keep an eye on it. And I was kind of, I wasn't super concerned. I figured they would just, to me, both times I remember not feeling like I could even see it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would try to kind of move them when they were sleeping, but it just sort of sorted itself out. Like we never, you know, it never came up again. So I'm curious, how often do you think parents either notice it and like accurately identify the head looks a little off, or the doctors are telling them that, but they don't really need to do anything and it kind of just goes away versus like they really should have intervention?
I'll tell you, that's a hard question for me to answer because I only see the ones that have a flat spot. Yeah. But I will say, just with you saying that, I even wrote it down. That is something that I think should be a huge red flag. Whenever someone mentions or in your head, you're thinking, the head looks a little flat, because 9 times out of 10, that baby is liking to turn in that direction and they will continue to like to turn in that direction. So the head will continue to get flat if there's no intervention. So if your pediatrician says off the cuff, hey, his head's looking a little flat, make sure you turn his head when he's sleeping the other direction, you can go ahead and try that. But if the baby doesn't respond to that and they're still like going in that favorite spot, you need to get intervention right away. And you know, your pediatrician said, and it was very casual, it's a little flat, like in a mom's eyes. Well, yeah, okay, so what? You know, no big deal. But it should raise a red flag that I've got to watch this like a hawk. And if in a week or two it's not looking better, I need to get intervention. Because otherwise, you go back to your 4 month appointment, right? And if it hasn't gotten any better, then now you're looking at a helmet, and you certainly would be looking one at 6 months if the head is flat.
That was my good job, Brittany. Really conscientious parenting. Luckily,
well, obviously, it worked out fine.
Somehow it worked out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's really good to know. but that like leads into my next question, because I remembered from your talk at one of the conferences, you talking about the 4 month thing. So what's the difference between sort of like catching this at 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, and like what parents would expect to happen as a result?
Yeah, that's a great, I'm so glad you asked that, because I often, I forget that. So the way that we can correct a head shape is by positioning for sleep. So when I have a 2 month old baby, yep, they're not moving a lot. They're kind of weak. They're not doing a whole lot in their sleep. So they kind of stay where you put them, right? So I can position a 2 month old. I can position a 4 month old pretty well. By the time a baby's getting to be 5 and 6 months, you're not going to get the success with the positioning that you need to correct the head shape. So that's why age is so important, because I don't want my baby rolling. If they're rolling and sleeping on their stomach, obviously I can't stop that. I don't want to stop that. Babies right. need to be able to move when they're sleeping. So I can't do that. I can't do that with a 5 or 6 month old or a baby that's rolling. So if I get them young, then I can position them. If we can't position them and this head is still concerning, then they would need to go for a helmet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it makes perfect sense too. That yeah, but just the more mobile they are, it's like
exactly.
You can't, you know, yeah, 2 months old, you can kind of keep in a position because they just don't move that much. So do yeah. you find then that babies who naturally roll, you know, because it's just developmental, that tend to roll earlier are less likely to have this issue just because they're no longer on their back, or not really?
Not really, because it happens in the first 2 to 3 months. So a baby is not going to roll at 2 months from back to front. So it happens very early. Right. It'll keep it from worsening for sure. Right. You know, if they roll yeah. early, like if you have, let's say a baby that had flattening at 2 months, still sleeping on their back at 4 months, still sleeping on their back at 6 months, right? Then you have 6 months of that baby in the same spot for 15 hours a day. You better believe that head is going to be flat. Right.
Yes.
So definitely. we want our babies moving as much as possible, including turning their head side to side. And if there's a restriction, that needs to be addressed.
So if you were to catch, hopefully, a baby in like, you know, early on, two or three months, besides moving their head when they're sleeping, my guess is, I'm only guessing this as a sleep consultant, when I've had, and this happened last week in a client conversation, I told them to try and go move the head when it was like maybe an hour or two into night, like in the period of either the baby's nap or night sleep, when they were probably in deep sleep, versus going in like 10 minutes after they've fallen asleep and they might wake up, or at the end of the nap. But do you have any other like guidelines or tips for parents doing that if it's during sleep?
During sleep, I haven't had an issue turning the baby's head when they're sleeping right away. And certainly like when you place them down, you know how you rock them or whatever, and then you lay yeah. them down, you can kind of tweak that little right. head a little bit, right? To turn it in the direction you want. The mm-hmm. issue is if that baby always goes back to the other direction, they have a neck muscle issue and that needs to be addressed. So I don't right. want people to think, oh, all I have to do is go in every hour and turn the head. Absolutely not. Like that would be crazy town. Right. We're not, you can try to turn the head, but if the baby doesn't stay and it always goes back to that one side, there's an issue that needs to be addressed.
Right. With the torticollis.
Exactly. With the neck. Yeah. And the head, yeah. we can fix the head. The other thing I wanted to tell you that we need to touch on is containers. So if you have a baby that has a yes. little bit of neck tightness, and then now you're using the Bjorn Bouncer a lot, you're using the Mamaroo, mm-hmm. you're using a Dock-a-Tot, all of those things restrict head and neck mobility. And that's exactly what we don't want to do. We don't want to restrict these babies' mobility in any way. So if you're using those a lot and you're seeing a neck tightness and you're seeing skull flattening, I would definitely try to, you know, to decrease the use of that.
And I think in general, that's good advice. I mean, for all of you who are my clients listening, this is why I talk about this in all of my plans.
Good.
Talk about having a container baby. I think especially for second and third time parents,
yes.
or fourth, whatever. Firstborn, they're on the floor, like mom and dad are just obsessed with them. hanging out all day. But when you were the third kid and you're going to Timmy's swim practice and whatever, they are in containers all day long. And correct. My city babies too, they tend to be on the go more than the suburban yes. babies.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some options for that, because you bring up a very good point. Like, we don't want to stress moms out. Like, you have a toddler and a newborn, and now we're telling you have to put the baby on the floor where the baby's going to get trampled, right? So your option is, let's do a pack and play. Put your pack and play in your living room. When you're making dinner, you can put the baby in there. When you're playing magnet tiles with the toddler, you can go just put the baby in the pack and play, or have them, you know, next to you on the floor. But we're not trying to make things more difficult. We just want your default place to put your baby in something that's not inclined and something that's not restrictive.
Right. Right.
So I see a huge increase in Baby Bjorn bouncers right now, and I'm seeing teeny little babies in those things. And that's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion. They're fine for 10 minutes a day or whatever, but I'm seeing babies in those a lot more than that.
Yeah. No, I've totally been guilty of that, especially with my second and third. What is the age though? But I never put them in it as like tiny newborns, but what is kind of the age that you would want a parent to start using a product like a part of like the Bjorn, where they can't have a completely wobbly neck to be in that. They should be somewhat sturdy.
Yeah. I mean, I would say probably, I don't love containers in general. So I'm kind of a minimalist when it comes to gear. I think we have way too much gear. I go to parents' homes and I see 6 containers all over their house, and it's everywhere. So I'm a little bit trying to get people to go the other way, but I would say probably 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. I was going to say 3 months. Okay. We're relatively aligned for what it's worth. That is like my only container, but I do love that product, but it's like the only one. I never had my kids in a swing or a whatever other contraptions, but
And I think they're fine in moderation. Everything's fine in moderation, but if you have a 3-week old baby and you're putting them in that Bjorn, it's just too restrictive. That baby will be just fine on a flat surface. And we just need to be comfortable with that.
Yeah. And the earlier you do that stuff, the better. Yeah. I like your recommendation. Cause there are play yards. Like I get some people's hesitation, myself included, of putting them in something that looks too much like a crib. So they feel like it, not when they're tiny newborns, as they get older. So they think like I'm supposed to sleep, but there are tons of play yards and things that you can contain a baby in, so that their siblings aren't, or dogs don't, you know, come at them. They're not rolling away.
Yeah.
That are safe and they can hang out there.
And so that's the difference too. When your baby is rolling and mobile, then sometimes a container is like, you have to do it. But if it's just to put your baby down to go wash the bottles, a pack and play by the window where it doesn't look like a crib would be just fine.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
So it is definitely a risk factor.
Definitely. And what are besides the, well, actually first, I'm curious how you guys, you specifically and your team, how you guys got started in this niche, because I don't know, I'm sure other companies exist, but you're the only one I know about and definitely like the best out there. And how did you get there?
So, I worked for a helmet provider. So one of the biggest ones in the United States, I worked for them for 8 years. I did consultations like all of us therapists did, and almost every consultation, the mom is crying and she feels guilty and she's just feels like it's her fault. And, you know, as new moms, especially first time moms, we're reading all the books, we're on Instagram, like we're trying to get all the information and be perfect. And, you know, our baby, just so much involved with being a new mom. And so she felt incredibly guilty. And it really started to bother me. I was in Dallas and it's just busy, busy clinic. And I just thought there is something that we need to be doing to prevent this. And these heads were bad. We're not talking just mild little flattening. I mean, they were really bad. And I was like, how is it getting to this point where these heads are so bad? And so I went out on my own, started just talking to doctors, getting some referrals. And then it just got bigger and bigger, and we've expanded, and you know, we're trying to see and help as many families as possible, including training other therapists around the world to do what we do. So not only are we seeing patients directly, but when I started to figure out there's so much more that we need to be doing, like we can't just be in Texas, we need to be bigger. Then we started doing training for other therapists. So there's other pediatric therapists that are doing what we do, not to this degree, but there's definitely therapists around the world that have learned our techniques. So that's been, it's been something I'm really proud of because I feel like I'm making so much more of a difference that way.
Totally. Well, it's one of those things where, like, I'm sure so many of those really terrible, difficult cases you saw, like if they just knew two months before that there were warning signs and like simple things they could have done to never let you get to that place.
Like one simple thing that you can do is just watch which arm you feed your baby on. You know, most of us feed our babies and hold and rock our babies on our left arm. Well, most of our babies are flat on the back right of their head, and that's where our arm is. So if, I mean, just something simple, like if you have a newborn or a 1 month old, put them in your other arm. You know, sometimes that that's all crazy.
That was going to be my question. Like, what are your tips for people who there are no issues yet, have an itty bitty newborn, or they've been told something like I was told, like it's a little bit flat, but don't worry about it yet. What should they be doing?
So tips for a newborn, is that what you asked?
Yeah, sorry, it like cut out a little bit. Tips like for parents who either have like an itty bitty newborn where there's no issue yet. I think it's trying to reconnect. We can cut this piece. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now it's back. You were totally gone.
Okay. I know, that was so weird. It was showing it was reconnecting. This thing. I was saying for like parents of itty bitty newborns where there's no issue yet, like we're just in full prevention mode, or they were kind of where I had been with my kids, like, oh, it's a little flat, don't worry about it yet. What should those parents be doing?
Great question. So for your newborn or for your birth to 1 month, here's your things. You want to limit your container usage, like we just talked about. You want to switch sides when you're burping them, when you're holding them, when you're putting them down to sleep. Switch directions. You're going to think of your baby like a rotisserie chicken. I'm on this arm, I'm on this arm. I'm laying with my head in the crib this way. I'm laying with my head in the crib this way. Like you're moving them around, okay? Taking weekly pictures of the head shape. That will help you keep a really good eye on that head. Tummy time, doing as much tummy time as you can because we're trying to get them off the back of their head, right? So you want to do tummy time as much as you can. And we get that question a lot. How much? How much? As much as you can. There is never too much tummy time. Sleep your babies on their back. And when they're awake and not feeding, go ahead and try to squeeze in some tummy time. And then the other thing is if you notice there's a turn preference, you need to find a therapist as soon as possible to get that taken care of.
That's great. Good advice. And that was actually, okay, so one thing I've told parents to, tell me if this is bad advice, but I've told them if they have a baby who hates tummy time, like hates being flat on the floor doing tummy time, especially like some refluxy babies and things where they'll like just start throwing up, I will suggest sometimes that they do something on the couch. Like if the parent's kind of like laying at an incline, because newborns, little babies like love being close to a person anyway. And like have them be on your chest, like they're tummy to tummy basically. Yeah. So their head, they're like of getting course. More control of their head and they're looking at you and talking, because they tend to like that better, at least in my experience, if they don't like being flat on the floor.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can do that. Dads love to do that. You know, I mean, it's a great way to sneak in tummy time. Absolutely. And I would just advise, you know, change the angle. Don't always be sitting upright. See if you can recline a little bit more just to challenge the baby. Yeah. But yeah, that's absolutely great tummy time idea for young babies. But once they get to be 1 month, 2 months, we need them really bearing some weight on their little elbows. On the floor is the best. Yeah.
And then when you do get families who, for whatever reason, we haven't been able to avoid getting a helmet, like what percentage of babies, if they're doing these things and they're seeing a therapist, are they able to avoid the helmet? And then if they need to get it, how long are they typically in it? And like, how does that change the therapies that you're offering them?
Yeah. We We have about an 80% success rate of keeping babies out of helmets. Of course, that there's many variables to that success rate, how compliant the parent is, how severe the head was, how old the baby is when starting, all of those things. But we have a pretty good success rate of keeping your baby out of a helmet. If they do need a helmet, it's not a big, it does seem like a big deal, but in the end, it's not, I promise. The baby does a really good job at tolerating it. They act like they don't even know it's on. So it's much harder on the parents because their cuddling changes and their, you know, their baby looks different and they might be a little self-conscious of it, you know, out in public. But the helmet, they wear it 2 to 3 months. Typically, they need to wear it 23 hours a day. That's very important. So you can't half-ass it. You know, you have to be fully committed if you're going to do it. And they work very well. Some people have heard that they don't work very well. They do work very well. And if your baby needs it, I would strongly suggest to get it. Not for a mild head. I'm talking more moderate to severe head shapes. That they work well, and you'll be glad you did it because you have made that head look as best as it can.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And for those listening, in my experience, I've had multiple babies with helmets go through the process with me. And I've never seen a difference in how they do. Like, it's not harder for them. They don't struggle more. You know, to your point, they adapt to having it, and, you know, it doesn't seem to impact, from what I've seen, it doesn't impact the rest of their life very much, which is great.
It doesn't at all. And it's so amazing, isn't it? Like, if we had a helmet, we'd be bitching and complaining. And
oh my God.
So upset.
And I mean, I shouldn't make light of it, because if it was my kid, I would be incredibly stressed out and I would be blaming myself. I think this is like motherhood in a nutshell. But when I see those little babies, like when I do live events, like at Mommy Me's, and there's a baby in a helmet, I'm just like, look at that little nugget. It's just so cute. So if it does happen, we don't want it to happen. But if it does, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. And if you need support, just let us know. Because, I mean, it's okay, because there's a solution to a skull flattening and deformity, you know, like, it's a beautiful thing that we have that.
Totally. And I won't take too much of your time because you're a busy lady, but the one last thing I wanted to touch on, because this, I've had this come up with clients many times, is just the safety stuff. I think it's good to hear from an expert in the field too. I will see things like a donut under a baby's head, a towel put on a side, them on their stomach, them on a pillow. Like, I've seen all kinds of stuff that parents are doing in an attempt to keep the head from looking flat. Yeah. And sometimes it's being directed by a professional too, which is obviously scary.
Yeah. It's a safety issue, and it's also, it's not effective. So that's a biggie too. So it's, you know, these plagio pillows, there is no research whatsoever that they work. In fact, they restrict the head a little bit more than just being on the floor with torticollis. So you don't want to use a plagio pillow for safety as well, but they don't work. You shouldn't put your baby on their stomach just because you're trying to avoid a flat head. Like, that's, it's just not, I have parent moms say, well, can I just put her on her stomach? And I just feel like if something were to ever happen, I would never forgive myself. If I knew that I wasn't supposed to put her on her stomach, you know? So in my opinion, it's not, none of that is worth it. Don't use anything that's going to be unsafe for your baby. Just get with a professional that knows what they're doing so you can take care of it. You know, there's no need to risk anything for your baby. It's just a head shape. You know?
I love it. Totally. At the end of the day, it's just a little head. Just a little head shape.
It is. And we'll fix what we can, and your baby's going to be just fine no matter what. And it seems to be very, very stressful for families. And that's part of our goal, is to make it where we're providing accurate evidence-based information. We have resources. We have a great Instagram page with so much information and stretches and developmental activities and goofy stuff. And so there's resources out there for everybody. And hopefully we can be one of those for them.
Oh, you are. I've sent so many people to your page. And you're really good at making reels. As somebody who hates / can't make reels, I'm very impressed. And you're not Gen Z. So it's very impressive to me.
Thank you.
Aspirational.
Thank you. I have help. So that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. It's a funny world
and
we
guys,
live in.
If you, it is a bizarre world we live in, frankly. So many things. We could go on and on about that. But if you guys would like to not only check out the great reels, but get tips, developmental tips. What I like is you have lots of tips about not using containers and exercises to do if you're worried about your child or you're interested in Baby Begin's resources. You can go to their Instagram page, which is Baby Begin. And Jennifer has very kindly included an offer for you guys for $20 off of a virtual consult for anyone who needs one worldwide with code SNOOZE. It doesn't expire, which is crazy. So if you're listening to this in 2026, it'll still be available. Yeah. And I will put that in the show notes so you guys. Thank you, Jennifer. Yeah. Really appreciate
your time. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you helping to get the word out and build awareness. It's people like you that we need more of.
Absolutely. One less flathead today from this episode.
That's right.
Loving the snooze button? Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And please leave a review. I will read it and internalize it, so make sure it's very glowing. If you're interested in working with me or learning more about my courses, head to brittanysheehan.com or follow me on Instagram at brittanysheehansleep.